May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our lesson from Zechariah is one of the many prophetic passages that are latched onto in the Gospels to describe how Jesus fulfills his messianic promise within them. Typically, in those instances, a visible sign happens to be the focus in those passages. Look, Jesus is riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem, just like the prophet Zechariah talks about, they might say. But I want to focus on a different part of this particular prophetic passage. Right after talking about donkeys, we see Zechariah begins talking about the blood of God's covenant as the basis for God's people being prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. What a paradoxical description to apply to the people of God. I mean, consider this. Prisoners are not typically hopeful people. Prisoners today have often committed crimes, many out of desperation for their survival. And back in Christ's day, prisoners were often debtors, captives of war, or people who were enslaved. So in neither time period, then or now, would hope be counted a defining characteristic of someone who's in shackles. Zechariah was a prophet during the Jewish exile, and in fact, many believe that Zechariah might be one of the prophets that Jesus is mentioning in his accusation against the Jewish leadership for their complicity in killing God's messengers. In a kind of cosmic irony, Jesus would be added to that esteemed list of martyred prophets not long after those words. But Zechariah's keen on encouraging God's people. He looked forward to a messianic restoration of a united people of God, no longer split by tribal allegiances, but singularly focused on worshiping the one true God at the temple in Jerusalem. And while the first couple verses of our snippet from Zechariah tie quite nicely in with Palm Sunday, the second part looks ahead to Good Friday. The church has long seen the blood of the covenant by which God enters into relationship with his people as referring to Christ's sacrifice on the cross, not just merely some formal establishment of God's legal covenant with Moses. In fact, the shedding of blood was involved in every covenant that God has made with his people ever since the fall of humanity in Eden. I mean, where do you think Adam and Eve got those skins that covered them in their nakedness after the fall? Even the new covenant, which we celebrate in the waters of baptism and renew each time that we partake of the bread and wine at Christ's table, we are reconnected to God because the blood of the Lamb that was spilt. So a messianic covenant is the source of hope in Zechariah's prophecy today, whether the old covenant or the new covenant. But what about this prisoner bit? We might be able to count an exiled Jewish populace as prisoners, of a sense, being kept from their native homeland, but Zechariah mentions a waterless pit. Well, there are previous Old Testament examples that the prophet might be picking up on. He might be alluding to when Joseph was seized by his brothers and thrown into a dried-up well until he was sold into slavery to a group of traders heading into Egypt. Of course, later, God reverses Joseph's fortunes and elevates him to a place of honor whereby he was able to forgive his brothers and save his extended family during a time of famine. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Zechariah had Joseph's own words in mind. What you intended for evil, God intended for good just as he was jotting down that phrase, prisoners of hope. But it could also be a little more recent reference to Jeremiah, who, of course, was tossed into an empty well in the palace courtyard because he had the audacity to predict Judah's doom at the hands of Babylon, contrary to the self-styled prophets of his day who said that everything was going to be hunky-dory for God's people despite their persistence in sin. Jeremiah was later rescued and ultimately was spared by the Babylonians, allowed to give him his pick of where he wanted to live, whereas the top brass of Judah was duly dispatched with, imprisoned, or carried off to Babylon. If Jeremiah was on Zechariah's mind, the hope referred to as a hope yet to come for both prophets, the return of God's people to the promised land. In either case, whether the hope is about God turning a bad situation into something good, or making good on a long-awaited promise, or little of both, it is still a longing that is so close to Zechariah that he can almost taste it. Despite feeling incarcerated in his exiled existence, despite the history of sin, disunity, and divine punishment at the hand of pagan powers, Zechariah is serving drafts from a prophetic well to give encouragement and refresh the thirsty hearts of his people. In a similar way, the gospel writers quote Zechariah to give their audience courage to face the emotional roller coaster that is Holy Week. We'll be weeping over the brokenness of the modern day Jerusalem that we live in, shouting Hosanna for Jesus' appearance in our lives, purging the temple of our hearts so that we can truly pray, washing one another's feet in order to emulate our Lord in humble service, singing over a holy meal to nourish our spiritual journey, letting our prayers bleed through our pores when we face suffering, and crucifying our sinful nature at Calvary, and at last rising to new life with our Savior come next Sunday. The covenant which we share with one another through the precious blood of Jesus gives us hope that we need no longer be chained to sin and death. Like Zechariah's hearers, we are prisoners of hope, looking forward to the day when the good work begun in us will come to full flower with Christ's return. This morning, as you examine your life, do you find yourself inside some dry and dusty pit of despair? What besetting sins keep you shackled? What lack keeps you desperately thirsty? What hunger do you try to fill with things that don't matter and don't satisfy? What powerful enemies seem to enslave you and rule it over you no matter how hard you try to escape? Let Jesus lift you up from your doldrums. Let him break the power of canceled sin. Let the living water of his Spirit spring up from within you. Let the bread of life satisfy the deepest hunger in your soul. Let the Son of God set you free from any power that keeps you bound from that abundant life and covenant love that we find in his precious blood. Be the prisoner of hope that he is calling you to be. Because no matter how dark the nighttime of this life may get, the light of the resurrected Christ will be sure to dawn and grant you the victory. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Father, you break the chains of sin and death now in the time of this mortal life through the humble sacrifice of your Son. May we who find ourselves joining him on the way of the cross, may we not be bound in despair, but see ourselves as prisoners of hope, confident that by your Spirit we will enter fully into the deliverance you've promised through the power of Christ's resurrection. Grant this, we beg, for the sake of your Son, our only Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.